If you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to Isaiah chapter number 40 tonight? And while you're turning there, I want to just thank the pastor for giving me this opportunity to preach. What a blessing it is, and I do not take it lightly, and I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for our church, and I want you to be much in prayer as we take the teens to Gatlinburg. We're leaving next Sunday evening, and we're going to be down there till Wednesday. And I've been praying much about it, and the Lord's kind of given me a theme for it. It's getting closer to God and getting closer to each other. And that's what God's put on my heart, and I pray that we won't just come back stirred, we'll come back changed, amen. And God will really bless it. So I covet your prayers. I'm going to share a familiar portion of Scripture with you this evening, and I think I've heard pastors say this before. When God gives me a message or gives me something that He's doing in my life, that's what I usually like to preach because it's real to me. And I don't want to try to preach something that not only I don't know about from studying, but that I'm not familiar with in my own life. And so this is something that God's been dealing with me about, and I want to share this with you tonight. Isaiah chapter number 40, the Bible says in verse number 1, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Now skip over to verse number 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to be in Your house tonight with Your people. Lord, as we open up Your Word, and Father, we desire Your presence and Your help. Lord, I pray, God, that You'd meet with us here tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that You would speak to hearts as only You can. Lord, You know each and every heart, each and every situation, Lord, and we're thankful for that. And God, I pray that You would help us tonight. Lord, I sure need You to help me to preach. Father, I cannot do it without You. But Your Word says I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. And so, Lord, I pray for unction, liberty, and a touch from on high, Lord. And Father, we'll give You all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As I said before, this is a familiar portion of Scripture. It's been a message, it's been a text that's comforted people throughout the course of time. It's helped many different people. But when we look at it, we really need to get the context of this. I've preached out of this text before, but I never really studied the context of it until this week. The book of Isaiah is a special book. It's divided into two parts. It's like the Bible. It's got 66 chapters, and the Bible has 66 books in it. The first 39 chapters in the book of Isaiah speak about judgment. It's a rebuke to God's people because of their sin. But the final 27 chapters, it's a message of restoration. It shows the grace of the Lord. When you look at the last 27 chapters, it's really broken into three parts. The middle part of it speaks about salvation. We get Isaiah 53, what a text, where it talks about the coming of our Savior and gives so many wonderful pictures of who He is and what He's going to do. When you look at the final part of the book, it talks about not only the salvation, but it talks about the occupation of God's people during the millennial reign. But I want us to look at chapter number 40. And this is a message of restoration. And I want you to consider this, that God put this message on the heart of His prophet. And He preached it 150 years before the children of Israel would be taken into Babylonian captivity. Aren't you glad that God knows the beginning and the end of a situation? He knew what was going to happen to them, and He knew the way that they were going to feel, and He knew what He was going to have to do to bring them back up and bring them to Himself. The prophet, in the first part, he proclaimed punishment. But praise God, in the second part, he preached pardon and pardon of sin. I like what the Bible says there in the 103rd Psalm in verse number 9. It says, God won't always chide. That means to strive with His people. God will punish us. God will chastise us for a season. But aren't you glad He doesn't stay that way? He doesn't continually strive against us. But He pardons us of our sin, and He brings us back into Himself. But I want you to notice two different words here in the text. Number one, I want you to notice in verse number one, the word comfort. This word comfort, this was the intention of God's heart to comfort His people as they were in Babylonian captivity. And then I want you to flip over and look at verse number 30. I want you to notice the word weary. Not only was He going to give His intention to comfort, but He was also going to talk about their condition. God was trying to help these people. He was determined to correct them, but He was also determined to comfort them. As they were in Babylonian captivity, they were downcast. They were depressed. They were distressed. They were disillusioned. They wondered if God would remember them. They wondered if God was going to ever help them again. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been there in your life? Have you ever been downcast, disillusioned, wondering what's going on? What's God doing here? Can I say to you tonight that we live in a very weary world tonight? We're living in a world where people are weary much of the time. And it's not just a small group, it's a very wide group. There might be somebody here tonight and you'd say, Brother Chris, I'm a bit weary. I'm on the weary side. We can be weary in different ways. We can be physically weary. Something can happen to our health and it can get us down. It can bring us down and cause us to be weary in the way. We can be mentally weary. A lot of times when you're physically weary, it causes you to be mentally weary. And you wonder what's going on and how long is this going to last. And the more that you think about it and try to figure it out, it makes your mind more weary. We can be emotionally weary. Amen. And then we can even get to the place that we're spiritually weary. But what's the cause of it? I started thinking about this week, and I got on the internet, and I started studying, and I looked, what are some of the common causes of people to be weary? As I mentioned before, your physical health can affect it, can cause you to be weary. Not only that, but your job can cause you to be weary. Things that are happening at your job, your bosses, the other employees, your pay, whatever it might be, but we can become weary in the place of our work, our job. We can also be weary because of other people. You might not know this tonight. You might never realize this tonight, but listen, people can be mean. Amen. They can. I mean, that's just the way it is. People can say stuff to us. They can do stuff to us. And it hurts us. And we think about that and mill around on it. And it can cause us to be weary. Failure can cause us to be weary. We have a certain expectation of ourselves and a certain thought about what we want to achieve and when we want to achieve. And if it doesn't happen the way that we think that it should or we want it to, it can cause us to get weary. We can get weary with our finances. How many of you have ever been there before? Amen. I believe we stay there in our house. You can be financially weary. And then you can be weary with church issues. Those are the causes. But you know this, with every cause, there's an effect. Those causes for weariness affects us in a great way. Weariness can make us bitter. If we stay weary in a place and we wonder what's going on and we think about this person did this to me and caused my condition, or we even wonder what's God doing here, I don't understand, why is He letting this happen in my life, we can become bitter. I think about that passage over in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30 where God gives a list of different things that happen when it all starts with bitterness. Bitterness can go to anger. Because of our weariness, we can get angry in the situation. We can get frustrated. We can be anxious. And anxiety leads to depression. And then we can get to the place that we feel hopeless. Now, some of you here are sitting here tonight and you're thinking this, he doesn't know how I am. I'm not built like that. I don't get weary. I don't get down. I don't get depressed. Well, listen, the Bible gives a portion of Scripture for you here. It says there in verse number 30, it says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. If you've never been there before, you just wait. It's going to come. I think about the youth being weary. My goodness, I think about my son when he was around 3 to 6 years old. You wouldn't know it by looking at him now, but we used to call him Action Jackson. I believe God had me in the prison, in the jails, to preach, because there were men that flooded their cells. They yelled at me. They cussed at me. Everything in the world to distract me. And I believe God used that so I could preach in church while my son was standing on his head in a church pew. I mean, running around. I told Brother Jason this the other night, I was preaching a revival meeting up in Bluefield. And there were two preachers, and I was preaching first. And as I was preaching, I noticed that the congregation's eyes went from me back to the back of the church. And I didn't understand what was going on, and I started studying a little bit, and my son was on the back pew standing up going, "Amen, preach it, brother, preach it." And he wasn't filled with the Holy Spirit, amen. He was trying to get attention. And I never thought that that kid would ever wear out. But the Bible says even the youth shall faint. There's none of us that are exempt from it. And we allow situations and circumstances to pull us down. And it can cause us to have a distance between us and the Lord. And much of the problem is that when these things happen, these circumstances and situations, the first thing we do, we look inward. And we try to figure out, what do I need to do to fix this situation? And when we think about it, and when we can't figure it out, we look outward. We pick up the phone, amen. We call somebody. We get on the computer and we Google it. And much of the time, that doesn't not only help, but it makes it worse. When God wants us to get down and to look upward. I had in my mind what I thought this text meant. I've been, from the fall until the present, I've been struggling, I've been dealing with feeling very, very fatigued. And you say, Brother Chris, everybody feels fatigued. But listen, it's really hard for me to try to think, to remember stuff, to really do my job during the course of the day. I've gone to the doctor, I've had blood work done. She's talked to me about my diet and different things, and I talked to her just recently, and they were talking about maybe I need to go get a sleep apnea test to see if I have sleep apnea, because that'll make you feel awful and just tired all day long. But because of all that, the Lord brought this text back to my mind. See, when I was finishing up with chemotherapy, And I was done with it. God took the cancer away from me. I was ready to get back to work and do something for the Lord. I'd been sitting there for 6 months down twiddling my thumbs, and I was ready to do something. But my body wasn't ready for me to do it. And I got weary. I got down. And I was reading through the Scripture one morning, and I came across this portion of Scripture. And it was like God just shined the light on the situation. It did something for me. God said, that is your promise right there. And I held on to it. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a few minutes. But see, I thought in verse number 31, let me read it again. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. In my mind, I thought, when God would help us, if we waited and He would renew us, that was the final reward. That was Him pulling us out of that situation that we were in, and that was the end of it. But that's not what God is talking about. The children of Israel in captivity. God wasn't talking about pulling them out of their situation. God wasn't talking about making everything right. But this is what He was talking about. Giving them the strength to make it day by day in the midst of that captivity and on the way for them to come back to Israel. It was a strength that they needed, putting the captivities and strengthening them in the midst of the situation. So I want to preach just for the next few minutes this thought, God's work for the weary. Number one, I want you to think about and notice the truth from God. The Bible says there in chapter 40 and verse number 8, it says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall stand forever. I'm thankful for the word of God. It's truth, amen. And if there was ever a day that we needed truth, it's today. There's a very short supply of truth. And we need that truth. That truth combats false teaching. That truth combats faulty counsel that we can get as we go through this life. And by the way, everybody's got an opinion. And everybody wants to try to tell us something. But it's not always the truth. And if we're not careful, we can listen to those things, and it'll put us in a situation that was worse than what we began in. And so God's given His people some things that are true. Number one, He gives them the truth about themselves, the truth about God's people. He says in verse number 6, all flesh is grass, and goodliness thereof is as a flower of the field. See, there in the Middle East, there's not a lot of shade. And it gets real hot. In the morning time when there's dew, the grass will grow and the flowers will grow. But by the end of the day, they'll wither away. They'll be gone. And God's telling His people that's the way that you are. That you're not as strong as you think you are. You're not as mighty. You're not as moral as you think you are. That's why you need me. Aren't you glad God tells us the truth about ourselves? I mean, people want to be kind to us and they want to help us and they'll give us a little bit of the truth, but they won't tell us the whole story. But I'm thankful God tells us the whole thing. He tells us about ourselves. He shows us who we are. And in doing that, He shows us how much He gives us the truth about His plan. The Bible says in verse number 7, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. When we have things that come in our lives, and we can get very confused, and that confusion causes weary because we're wondering, what has happened? Why is this happening? How is this happening? But God says, wait a minute, I want you to see something. It's not just by happenstance. I'm the one that comes in, and I bend you, and I break you, and I try to make you better. I try to make you more like myself. And so that gives us a certain amount of comfort because we can get to the place we think everything's just pure chaos. There's no rhyme or reason to it. And God says, yes, there is. I'm doing a work. I've got my hand on this. You can trust me. God has got a plan. But notice this, God's got a purpose. verse number 9. The Bible says, O Zion, thou bringest good tidings. Get thee up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift up thy... And be not afraid, saith the cities of Judah, behold your God. God has always had a people. In the Old Testament, it was the children of Israel. In the New Testament, it's the church. He's always had a people that he wanted them to be separated and to go tell the world about him. He wants us to tell the world about who he is. He wants us to tell the world what he's done for us and what he'll do for them if they'll let it. This is what God's purpose is for our lives. You say, what's that got to do with my weariness and where I'm at? Listen, a lot of the time it's not just for you, it's for somebody else. There's somebody that needs to hear about what God has brought you through. There's somebody that's going through something right now and they need you to tell them about how God helped you and how he blessed you and what he did. This older generation needs to teach this younger generation some things about praying and getting in their Bibles and waiting on God and say, listen, I don't know everything about what you're going through, but I know somebody that does, and he's helped me and brought me through these situations and these trials, and he can do it for you. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted in. A long time I couldn't understand, Lord, why'd you let me get sick? Why did you allow that to happen? And I don't understand everything about it, but God has shown me some things. When I'd go into the prison after that, I never want to tell somebody, I know what you're going through. But I might have a little bit of an idea. Those guys would be locked down and they couldn't see their family. They couldn't go and do what they wanted to do. And I said, listen, I was sick. I was locked down for a while. I couldn't get up and go. I couldn't spend time with my family. I don't know everything about what you're going through, but this is what God allowed me to go through, and I want to help you. I remember we were in the parsonage there in West Virginia, and we were going about our day, and all of a sudden there was a knock at the door, and this dear lady, she's such a blessing to us. She came and her face was just downcast and she looked awful and she was upset, and she came to the door. She said, preacher, can I talk to you? And I said, come in. And she said, I just found out I got cancer. And I said, my. And I started trying to talk to her and tell her about a little bit what I went through, and this is what God did. See, you know, somebody did that for me. I remember the day I came home from the hospital, and I called a preacher friend, Brother Jeff Bellamy, and it just so happened that his wife had colon cancer, and he put her on the phone, and she said, listen, this is what's going to happen. You're going to go to the doctor, and they're going to do this, and then from there, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. And you know what? When I got off the phone, I had a certain amount of comfort because I talked to somebody that had been through it, and they were comforting me. God has a purpose for your weariness, amen. He wants you to help somebody else. Let me go on to my next point, the testimony of the Lord. In verse number 12, God is beginning to show and make a distinction between himself and the issues and the circumstances and those things that are holding those people captive. He's trying to make a distinction. He's trying to show himself in a different way. There is an assessment there. I looked up the word assessment. It means evaluating evaluating a value of something. For instance, when a company wants the consumer to see the value of their product, many times what they'll do is make a comparison between their product and the competitor's product, and they'll say, look, ours is better. And that's what God's doing.
He's saying, you're in the midst of these mighty nations and these mighty leaders, and you've been around many different idols and many different gods, but I want you to look at me and see that I'm greater than that. He told them, I'm more powerful, I'm more wise, I'm more dominant than any of these other things. See, when we look at our circumstances and we focus on them, God can get small and He can seem distant. But when we look at our circumstances through the Word of God and God Himself, then God begins to look greater and He begins to get closer. Now you're sitting here saying, preacher, I know that God's great. And I know in my heart that God can take care of my problem. But where the doubt comes in is, will He? Will He do this for me? I know He can, but will He do this for me? See, our flesh wonders that, and then the devil gets in with his 2 cents, and we start thinking about it, and we start thinking, well, why should God do it for me? I mean, I'm not perfect. I mess up. I've not been serving the Lord like I should. Why is He going to help me with my weariness when I'm not even doing what I'm supposed to be doing? I want to tell you, it's not about who you are, friend, but it's who He is. We say He won't help me because of this, and God gives us a beautiful picture here. In verse number 28, He refers to Himself as God. That's Elohim. That shows His greatness and who He is. Then He refers to Himself as the Creator of the earth. But look over in verse number 10. I like this right here. He says in verse 10, behold the Lord God. That word Lord means Adonai. It's Jehovah. And this points to the Lord's personal relationships in our lives. It doesn't make Him just a big God that's unaware of us and that He can do anything, but we're little peons over here and He doesn't think about us. It brings His greatness into our lives and shows us that He's not just a big God that's unconcerned, but He's a personal God that wants to do something in our lives. Notice it talks about the toughness of the Lord, but it talks about the tenderness. Verse 10, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and His arm shall rule for Him. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arm. He'll carry them in His bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. He's not just a tough God, friend. He's a tender God. And so many people in the Bible, they realized it. That's when David said, listen, I know He's God, but I know that He's my Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. The children of Israel, after they went across the Red Sea and they got over to the other side after God had delivered them, that they began to sing a song and they said this, the Lord is my healer. When they were in battle with the enemies, there was a certain battle and a certain time that God brought the victory in their lives. And Moses said this, the Lord is my banner. And over and over and over and over again, God was personal in their lives. He just wasn't somebody that's far away or distant. He was real. Paul was preaching in Athens on Mars Hill. And he started teaching and telling the people how great God was. He began at the beginning, he said, He's the Creator. God can't be confined to a certain building, to a certain image. He's greater than that. God has set boundaries. He's given us a law. He told them that God knows when you're going to be born. He knows when you're going to die. And he talked about the greatness of God. But then he said this in verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. Listen, He's not a distant God. He's right here. He wants to help us. He's not someone that we can't get a hold of. We can get a hold of Him, friend. He wants us to. He's right there. But the problem is sometimes He's so close and people don't realize it. And they go ahead and they throw the towel in and say, listen, I can't do this anymore. And I believe when we step off into eternity, it's going to sober us up for so many different reasons. But I believe one of the great reasons is going to be when God shows us what might have been. This is what could have happened if you had continued and not went in a different direction. And that's a sobering thing. Will He do it for me? The Bible says, Romans 8 and verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely give us all things? I want to say, if Jesus would save you, friend, He'll sustain you. Let me hurry here. Number three, the trusting of the Lord. God says, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. Now, what's your response going to be? It says in verse number 31, notice this, it says, wait upon the Lord. I wonder tonight if we really know what it means to wait on the Lord. I believe that I had an idea about it, but when I studied it, I saw some different things. That word wait actually means to have faith in, to hope for, to trust in, and to long for. It literally gives a picture of twisting something, winding a cord around and around and attaching it to something else. That's what God would have us to do. To trust in Him, to hope for Him, and to attach our focus on Him and nothing else. So many times we'll try to keep our eye on Him, and after a while when the break doesn't come and the strength doesn't come, then our eyes start going towards a secondary thought. It's something secondary that might help us. And you know what that does? It fizzles out our faith. It just doesn't happen like that. We try to step in and we try to fix it. But listen, we think that just waiting on God is some kind of idle act, that we just sit there with our arms folded, but that's not what it is. Back in the past, in olden times, when a young man was courting a young lady, the older people would say this, that young man's waiting on that young lady. He wasn't just sitting there, but he was actively pursuing after her. And that's what God wants us to understand when we're waiting on Him. We're supposed to do what we know that we're supposed to do until He gives us something different to do. He wants us, number one, He wants us to listen. I believe there are people that are weary tonight because they're doing something that they were never supposed to do. God didn't tell them to do it. They're carrying a burden that they were never meant to carry because they listened to what they wanted to do and not what God wanted them to do. We need to listen to Him. Listen, we need to live for Him. We need to go to church when it doesn't seem like anything's happening in our lives. We need to pray when it never seems like we're getting an answer. You got to preach when it doesn't seem like anybody's listening. We got to read the Bible when it doesn't seem like the answer's coming. We got to keep witnessing when it seems like nobody even cares. And we need to keep giving unto the Lord when it seems like it just doesn't make sense financially. But we just got to keep doing it by faith, by faith. We've got to wait on the Lord. Let me give you this and I'm finished. The triumph of the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 31, the Lord shall renew their strength. What a promise that He gives us there. Our ideas and our expectations, when we consider that, it muddies what God wants to do in our lives and what God's saying. When He talks about strength there, He's talking about a supernatural power, a supernatural ability to do a specific function. See, God's not going to give us strength just to sit there and not do anything. He's not going to give us a strength just to be prideful and say, look, I'm strong. But He gives us something, what He wants us to have a strength to do a certain purpose for Him. He's got a purpose for us. And that word renew, it means to pass on, to pass away, to change for the better. It literally means to change, take off old clothes and to put on new ones. This is what God's saying there when he's talking about renewing our strength. He said, listen, I want you to take off your old garment, and I want you to put on mine, to put my strength on. Take that old one off and try my strength for a minute. Isn't that amazing that God would do that for us? That he would take us and what we have and take that from us and put something greater on us. And when we look at all these different people in the Bible and we see how God renewed their strength, I think about in the book of Judges about Gideon. The Lord said in chapter 6 and verse number 14, he said when he was going to fight the Midianites, he said, go in this might against the enemy. In 1 Kings chapter number 19 and verse number 8, when Elijah was battling against his flesh, he gave him meat to go for 40 days and for 40 nights. But this is one that really got me this week. I was thinking about Samson, and he was fighting what was a picture of the world. He was fighting against the Philistines and specifically against Delilah. And it's funny how you've got to get things in your mind about how they are, but when you really start reading and studying, the Lord shines a whole new light on it. See, I don't know about you, but when I went to Sunday school when I was a kid, they taught me that Samson's strength was in his hair. That's where his strength came from. And so I started studying it, and I know that he's a Nazarite and that he made a covenant with God. He wasn't supposed to cut his hair. He wasn't supposed to drink. But every time that he did something great and powerful, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. It wasn't his hair, it was the covenant he had with God. And so he went and he was hanging around people he shouldn't have been hanging around with, and he laid his head down in Delilah's lap and he shared where his strength came from, and they shaved off his hair. And when he got up, he was going to go about his business like he always did, but the Bible said his strength was taken from him. And they took him captive. And they gouged his eyes out, and they put him in that dungeon. And the Bible said that his hair started growing back just a little bit at a time. The enemy wasn't concerned because they thought his power, his strength was in his hair. But see, God saw it, that covenant was coming back. And so Samson was weak, he was weary, and he prayed that God would renew his strength. And God gave him that strength back. And the Bible said, when he realized and understood that strength wasn't from his head, but it was from God, he slew more people when he died than all the time when he was alive. God renewed his strength. Let me share this with you and I'll be finished. I was telling you about when God gave me this verse, Isaiah 40:31. I was reading one morning and it gave me new life. It strengthened me. It helped me. And I started to go out and try to do some things for the Lord. And I remember first off that I went to the prison one day up in Northeast State. I was going to help Brother Charlie Russell. And I went in, got checked out and got scanned and all that good stuff. And there's a big yard in the middle of the prison and it's uphill. And so I was walking through the yard up the hill, and I got to the chaplain's office, and man, I was just out of breath. I was huffing and puffing. And the devil said, there you go. This is what God's doing for you. This is what it's going to be like. And I looked down on the desk, kind of down, and all of a sudden, there was a sticker on the desk. It had Isaiah 40:31. God said, I'm still here. I'm going to help you. I was helping my pastor at the time up in Bristol. We were cleaning the floor there at the church, and we were sweeping, and we'd gone back and forth, and I just got so worn out so quick. That chemo just did a work on me, and I was leaning up against the wall, and I thought, I can't do this. I want to so bad. And I just kind of looked over the side, and there was a magnet on the wall. It had Isaiah 40:31 on it. God said, there you go. There's your promise. You can keep going. Speed it up about 6 months. The Lord led us to go to Bluff City to pastor a church. And and they voted me in, and I got ordained and all that good stuff. And I remember the first day I went in, and I was cleaning up the pastor's office and moving stuff. And all of a sudden, the magnitude and the weight of that position just hit me. I'd never thought about it before, and it just hit me. And I said, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. And I went down and I was getting a box, and there was a little picture there, and it had an eagle on it, and there was my Isaiah 40:31. God said, you can do it. 3 months later, been pastoring, trying and working at it, trying to get people to come to church and trying to help people. And I was feeling a little weary one day. I was starting to get some strength back, but I was feeling a little weary, and I was putting tracks on the track rack there in the front of the church. And as I put a track up, this little card fell out, and it had an eagle on it, and it had Isaiah 40:31. God said, there you go. There's your promise. I'm still with you. Then they called from West Virginia. They wanted us to come and to preach. They were praying about a pastor, and I went up there that morning and preached, and I sharing this very testimony with you. I shared it with them about the eagle. And as we left out of the church that morning to go get something to eat, we were walking out in the parking lot, and this guy, he said, oh my goodness, and he said, look up, and there was the biggest bald eagle you've ever seen in your life. I didn't go to West Virginia, folks, because I saw an eagle. But God said, I'm still with you. I'm right there. Listen, I don't know where you're at this evening, but God does. He can help that weariness. I went to that tent meeting last week and went on the Wednesday night. And man, I was so tired. It was getting to me. And it was so crazy, Brother C.T., he had been singing, and we'd been singing, and he came down and started talking a little bit, and he said, I found out my dad's cancer came back today, and my grandma's going to die. And he said, I don't know if you ever feel like this, but he said, I really didn't even feel like coming to church tonight. And I said, oh my goodness. And he said this, you know, he said, you don't have to wait till the end of the service to go to the altar. You can go right now, and God just put his finger on me. And I went and I got down on the altar and I started praying. And you know what? God gave me another blessing. As I was down there praying, I felt a hand come on my shoulder. And my pastor started praying for me while I was there. And I tell you this, when I got up, friend, it was different. The weariness had gone away. It had been so bad for those few days before, but it wasn't like that the next day. You know what God did? He gave me the strength to go on a little bit further. God wants to do the same thing for you, Pastor.